Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I wanna hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland in for you on this Monday, joined by Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. The Cats fall in the Sunflower Showdown this weekend. Wyatt, welcome in. They fall, but you know what? They made a game out of a game that looked like it might not be a game pretty much right out of the gates. Do you think there's anything positive to take away from something like that for a team that struggled as much as the Wildcats have this year?
Well, I think there are some positives you can take from it. But at the end of the day, one, it's a loss. Two, to your rival. Three, 14-0 and 20-4 hole. It's just so difficult to overcome that anywhere, anytime, especially against that team. I would say the positives for me would be a little bit along these lines. TJ, good to see you, by the way. Good to be on with you. I thought, you tell me if you disagree with this, and it's okay if you do, but I thought it was overall Coleman Hawkins' best game of the year. I thought he played with poise, with toughness. He was aggressive. He didn't take – I thought he took good shots. He had 18 and 10 assists, was really aggressive. I think the second guy that really stood out for me, and I was so happy to see it, was David Castillo. He had really played minimal minutes, really kind of had struggled and gotten to what I hope is a low point with shooting the ball. And I've said to you before, the kid is a really good shooter and a really good player. We just have not seen it translate from the practice floor to the game floor. And I thought he was okay. and if I'm being honest, I thought Ugo was pretty good too. I thought those three things stood out to me, even in another loss.
Yeah, Wyatt, you know, they were talking after the game in the press conference, and I agree with everything you just said. I think that was probably, outside of the first 4 minutes, probably the best that K-State's played this year, and they lost because they gave up 14 points in the first 4 minutes of the game. You know, even with the moral victory, whatever you want to call it, you know, you lose 8 of your last 9, I think, now. You know, a group of college kids, that's going to start weighing on them. You know, how can that affect a basketball team?
Well, you hope it is something that they recognize and notice and take it moving forward. I know Coleman was asked a lot in the press conference about this and that, and, you know, if he regrets his decision to come to K-State and all of those kind of things. And, you know, when you're struggling like this, you're going to get those types of questions. Mm-hmm. But I think I would tell you, and I would have probably said this honestly before the ball game, I just felt different going into this game in terms of the preparation and the work that those guys put in, the determination to get better. And hopefully what they did, even though they were down 14-0 and 20-4 and lost the game, that they can take that to the practice floor and get ready to go. Because as we all know, we leave tomorrow afternoon for Waco and play Baylor Wednesday night, come home, play West Virginia on Saturday, and the grind continues.
Who just beat Iowa State, by the way.
Exactly.
Wyatt, you got to look at KU. We'll have you flip around the chair a little bit. KU is trying to hang in there. And, you know, we look at them this year with a special interest in Wichita. We'd like for them to play here when the NCAA tournament comes here, which means they're going to need to be right there at the top of the Big 12. From what you saw Saturday, are the Jayhawks poised for that kind of year, do you think, as good as the Big 12 looks at the top?
I don't know that it's a given right now, to be honest, but I do think the possibility is there. And I don't think what I'm about to say will surprise anybody. They have the coaching to do it. That's probably where it starts first and foremost. If you really look at it, the guys that really perform, now keep in mind, you know, KU played Saturday without KJ Adams too. And I know he hasn't been playing like he has in the past, but he's still a big piece. But Hunter Dickinson was Hunter Dickinson after not being himself in the game at Ames. Part of that was Iowa State. I get it. I've always been a guy who appreciates DeJuan Harris for how hard he plays and the job that he does. I thought he was more aggressive trying to score Saturday. And frankly, I think he needs to do that moving forward. And I do like, you know, some of their other pieces. Bidunga, I think, has a chance to be a really, really fine player. Can he give them enough, you know, over the next, what have we got, couple of months to get to that point where you're talking about where they can come to Wichita? We'll see. But they'll have an opportunity, sure.
Why? I more so in the midweek game against Texas Tech. I know that Coach Tang talked a little bit about playing some of the younger guys, everything like that. And that's kind of a statement to be made with the state of college basketball, especially at Kansas State. They've had a new team the past 2 years, basically. You know, do you see this as kind of like a tide-turning thing for the program to try to, you know, maybe develop some of these younger guys, get them to stay on this roster, and make that a point of emphasis in the offseason?
Well, it's a really good subject, and I know Coach Tang has talked about it over the last couple of two or three games, and I would just say this. I think for the guys who have the ability to come back, you hope they do, because I think we are learning that for some, not all, but for some, it's pretty difficult to put, you know, 12, 13 new faces together, have some continuity, and what I'll describe as skin in the game. You know, a lot of these kids came here not really knowing anything about K-State. They came here because of Coach Tang. I mean, let's be honest about it. And I think the one thing that's missing in college basketball right now and probably moving forward that we may or may not get back is a guy like Jacob Pullen, who comes in and spends 4 years there, becomes your all-time leading scorer, loves Kansas State, still stays in touch with him. I just don't know if we're dealing with that now. I know I'm rambling a bit on the question, but I do think, as an example, you really want David Castillo to get some minutes this year because he can be back. People are going to question Doug McDaniel. Will he come back? Do they want him back? You know, those types of things. CJ Jones. I do think they have pieces. It's been hard, I think, molding it and putting it all together and having some consistency. But I don't think they're talent void, but they do need to continue to grow. And I think retention will be pretty big, even if it's just three or four guys, in my opinion.
I'm glad we're here, because this is the interesting part of the season. The two guys who have been, you know, the biggest contributors this year are really, correct me if I'm wrong, I guess three with Max Jones. But like these are the guys that will take them this year as far as they can go, but how far can they go? We're talking mm-hmm. about Gassan Hawkins and Max Jones. Everybody else could gain experience in theory and mm-hmm. come back. How do you balance it? This team's not going to be an at-large. So outside of the NCAA tournament, like, what are we doing right now, I think, becomes the big and interesting question for K-State. Are you trying to win as many games as you can because of the investment into some of these older players that you made? Or are you trying to make sure this doesn't happen again next year? I don't know.
Well, I really appreciate the question, because I think it is really kind of where they sit right now, don't you? I mean, let's be honest, that's it. And I think the right answer is probably, let's be selfish a minute and say, I think Coach Tang would like to have both. And I totally respect and understand that. You know, Coleman Hawkins is making a lot of money, and everybody's talked about that ad nauseum, right? But I think you have a guy here that's trying to do what he's being asked to do. He's getting better. I think he's a good teammate, to be honest with you. I really like his personality. He's a high-level personality kid. He'd probably be mad at me calling him a kid, because he's a man, but he's a kid to this old guy. But those kind of guys, and I'm a fan of Max Jones too. He just plays, you know, and he's probably not great at anything, but he's pretty good at a lot, right? And that helps. And then you'll miss Gassan. I think the reason that they've even kind of hung together at least a little bit here. You got to give David Gasan some of the credit for that. He's been here 3 years behind the scenes. I think he plays a big role with these guys. And but with all of that said, you want to see continued growth out of those guys. And, you know, Castillo's the youngest, so I keep using him as the point here. But, you know, these are big games, too, moving forward, if Doug stays and CJ and Ugo and all of those kind of guys. I just believe that.
You know, the one thing you kind of brought up there is that, and I know we've talked about it before, but whenever you have the pieces that this team has, you know, we've seen a big Coleman Hawkins game, we've seen a big Doug McDaniel game, a big Hawson game. Does it, you know, why doesn't it work together? I know that that's every coach in the country wants that answer, but what's your hypothesis on that?
Well, I've said in a lot of interviews, TJ, and I think it's true, and I think they're still trying to fight through this. They have some, they go through stretches where there's something that isn't right. One night it might be rebounding. One night it might be points in the paint. One night it might be, and I think this is true to a degree on Saturday. I don't know how you felt about it, but when they got down 14-0 and 20-4, they're taking way too many poor three-point shots. And you do that on the road in that building against that team, they're going to make you pay. I just think you have to be smarter and tougher and more consistent. And to me, it's as simple as that. I mean, there are a lot of things that they're working on. I know they're, you know, tweaking some things or trying to offensively too. They're probably, in all honesty, just an okay defensive team more times than not. I thought they defended really well in the game against Tech, holding them, a team averaging 85, holding them to 61. So there are capabilities there, but it's doing it over 30, 35, 40 minutes, and that's been really the biggest problematic thing of the whole thing, I believe.
Another tough one on the road, Wyatt. You guys have an 8 o'clock tip against Baylor. You'll hear it here on KFH. I guess cross your fingers and you know, hope for one of the best offensive games they've had all year, and maybe if they bring it like they did after the opening stretch against Kansas, they can have a shot here.
Well, I would look at it like this, and I would think that this might be Coach Tang's message to these guys. K-State beat them a year ago, right? I think they've won 3 in a row in the series. That probably surprises people to hear that because of what Baylor has been. Now, here's the downside to that. It's a really talented team, and they lost yesterday at home to TCU. So they'll probably be focused and ready to go. They do have really good talent, two terrific freshmen. Jeremy Roach, the Duke transfer. So they'll have pieces. But at 11-6, they're probably not what everybody thought they were going to be, at least to this point, but they're certainly capable.
It's always tough in Waco. Wyatt, we look forward to the call tomorrow night. We appreciate it. We'll be back here next week to talk all about it.
You got it. Thanks, fellas. Good talking to you.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats. Glad to have Wyatt in with us on this Monday. Let's just make this a college basketball segment, TJ, as we've got a lot of football to talk about throughout the program. We've got some comments that we'll get to throughout the program. So football fans, hang tight. Shockers, TJ, you were there. I don't know. You know, it's a heartbreaker because of the way it ended. It's a heartbreaker because they got it tied up and then gave up the three as time expired with 3 seconds left. We'll dig into that moment in a minute, but you know, they shouldn't have been there. They shouldn't have been in that moment. You shouldn't have East Carolina at home pushing you to the limit at the end of a game like that to begin with. Going into it, all things put to the side on where we are with anything, you can't be losing to East Carolina at home late.
It's true. It stings a little bit because, you know, they still want to try to make a run at the top of that conference. And, you know, you can't keep losing to teams that are worse than you in the conference, basically. And East Carolina is one of those teams. And I think that the thing that's the most frustrating is that East Carolina, a really bad three-point shooting team, they come in, they shoot 50% from three-point line against the Shockers, which we've seen so many teams do. And I don't even think, watching the game, I think that in the past, it's because they're perimeter defense has been so bad. I think against East Carolina, you have to game plan that they can't shoot threes, so you let them shoot them, they make them all. They make it 50% of them, whatever it was. And it's just got to be so frustrating. And I showed up at halftime of that game. I watched the second half. And you know, honestly, they were losing at halftime. They got down like 12 points, I believe, in that second half. And probably played the most inspired basketball I've seen since they played K-State. Came all the way back at the end of that game, and it was fun watching that team, and it just leaves a sour taste in your mouth at the end there. But I don't want to say it's bad luck, but, I mean, you got your guy off the bench for East Carolina scored 28 points and made 3 three-pointers, and they made 11. And it's the same thing Wyatt just talked about. If it's not one thing, it's another.
Yeah, and it just, you can't, I mean, you can't. You just can't do it. They're sitting at the very bottom now, only better than Charlotte, of a conference that's really not very good this year. That's the part that stings. And three of the losses of the four that you have should not have been, like, you shouldn't lose those games. And especially shouldn't lose those games at home, South Florida, East Carolina. So, look, I don't know what to do or say with the Shockers anymore other than say they're capable of being near the top of the league when the dust settles. But I don't know how to keep saying that when they lose games at home to East Carolina.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, why on earth, and we probably read this differently, but why aren't you putting any pressure on the ball handle? He's got 3 seconds. At least get in his way. Yep. Just stand there.
Yep.
I mean, he's got one option, basically. It's to get up the floor and chuck a three. Well, make it a little more difficult to get up the floor.
Yeah.
You can't foul him. I get it. You can't foul him, but you can, you can congest the lane to get there. It's 3 seconds. And he was able to get up and get a great shot off.
I agree. I think that, the other tough part of it as well is I'm sure that whenever you're running through all these scenarios in your head and you do this at practice, and I think that Coach Mills after the game talked about that we run these scenarios through in practice, and I'm sure there was a big point of emphasis to make sure that you're getting back because they'll probably try for a more high percentage look, throw the full court pass and try to get fouled like we saw KU do against West Virginia there at the end of the game, remember? KU did it against West Virginia. And I think that that's probably what you're coached, and whenever you're playing against a team that can't shoot the three ball that much, it's your first instinct, but it's
not a no brainer. I just 3 seconds, like, get in his way.
I agree.
It could have been a half quarter
instead of a 3-pointer.
Yeah, literally just stand there. That was tough to see, but they shouldn't have put themselves in that position to begin with. We'll have more on that later in the week. Shockers don't play till Thursday, so we'll have plenty of time to get to it. All right, if you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now. You can get a free iced tea, a free rain coffee. These are available at either Wichita location or in Derby. It's a text to win contest, and all you have to do to get one of each, use them at different times, one of each, text the keyword tea to the short code 20357. That's TEA 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. When we come back, we're all football for a while here on the show. We're going to dig into this Chiefs game. We're going to get into what made the Chiefs look so good, in my opinion, in that game, what they did to disrupt Houston in that game. And then we've got other conference championship games to preview, but we've got to go back through these divisional games. They were all really good. Everybody's having a better day today than Mark Andrews. Like, these games were all great. Down to the wire, really good games, TJ. And that's what we get in the divisional round. So we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break. It's all Brockton Cleveland on a Monday. Don't go away. Chiefs, we're digging way in next on Sports Daily.